Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In French, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, saubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been a very interesting week of transformation energy. I am so grateful to be in my living room in my 320 square foot house. I don't have a lot of material goods, and it doesn't complicate my life at all to have simple things that I need, like a bookcase. So I'm so grateful to be here to share my journey with you, and especially my knowledge about this temple. We have some really good information for you today about medication. And I've invited some psychologists to join me today. Some real professionals are joining us today to share their knowledge about medications. And when we finish our joint rolling, I want to start with a testimony of a woman who's very content to be on medications, because we don't want to put any shame or burdens any more than we have to on people who have a need to take medication. So after our joint rolling, we're going to hear from a woman who is not ashamed to say she's on medication, and it's helping her. So let's get busy, though. Let's get down on the floor today and roll these joints. Why? Because we need to lubricate these joints to have a pain-free, easy movement life, okay? So we're going to put on some music, and as usual, we'll start with our neck roll. And then we're going to get on, and we'll do our neck and our shoulder rolls first. And then we're going to get on our back, kick our legs up, and roll our ankles and our wrists, then our elbows, then our knees. And then we'll move over on our side and roll our leg around so this hip joint can get some woo-hoo action in the hip joint. So let's play again, Time for Healing. This music is just so appropriate these days. We got healing needed all over the planet, especially in Texas. We send lots of love out to Texas and Buffalo. and any other areas of the world where they're having violence and death. It's everywhere. But we're in transformation. So that's what happens when the psyche and the moon and the stars and everything is saying, move, move, move. Let's move. So I'm going to put on my favorite music, Time for Healing. And let's just get on with the joint, getting high on our joint.
Against their sisters and brothers, yeah.
Thank you.
energy in your body and place those hands behind your neck. Squeeze and release. Squeeze and release. Get that vagus nerve activated, running smoothly. Before we sit down for a while and learn a little bit more about medication and meditation, the idea today is to decide for yourself whether you want to medicate or meditate. It's your choice. And we're going to just give you the pros and cons so you can make the decision for yourself. Ah, great. No control here. Offering you knowledge so that you don't perish. That's what the Bible says. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So every Friday, I bring you the knowledge, the wisdom, and my own personal experience so that you can make up your own mind. So we're going to go back into the studio now. Move everything up here. And get busy. We're getting busy with health and well-being today. This is about health and well-being. That's my dad back there and the cover of his book, Sherman J. Howard, Football and Beyond. We're actually going to be working on a documentary for him this year. My nephew's son is studying film and movie in college, and so he's taken all the video we took over the last 3 or 4 years, and he's going to put together, hopefully, a documentary on beyond football, the joys and activity you can do after the game. So anyway, he'll be with me the whole show. So we want to talk today about medication and meditating. I've been so interested in the life of Naomi Judd, because her music, even though I didn't listen, I'm not a big country music fan at all, but when I did see this woman performing, I just saw such joy in her performance, what she seemed to be really enjoying her life and her work every time I would see her perform. And as you know, recently she took her life with a gun. So I think the universe wants us to take a look at her life and her end of her life especially, and really learn how to prevent that type of journey or that type of ending. And so that's why we're going to hear from experts today about medication, especially antidepressants, and how we can move forward in a better way in healing our bodies and restoring what gets out of balance from childhood. Because if you're familiar with ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences, Kaiser Permanente and some other groups did some studies and research about adverse childhood experiences, traumas in childhood, abuses in childhood. There's a questionnaire that asks the question about your childhood, how many traumas or abuses did you have? And depending on the score, that score determines what type of diseases you will have in your adult life. And so I've studied that quite a bit. And so someone like Naomi Judd, for instance, had mental illness, what they call, and she had hepatitis. And so you could look at the history of many popular people in our society, and whatever disease they have in their adult life, a lot of them have depression. So that's why we want to talk about that. You can usually trace it to an adverse childhood experience. So today I want to start with a testimony from a woman who says that she's proud that she's taken her medication. She firmly admits, I take antidepressants, and she tells us why and how it's helping her. So we want to start with the pros first, because most of it will be about the side effects and the negative things that happen when people do that. So let's listen to this very interesting testimony about someone who is very comfortable in their antidepressant
state. I take antidepressants, and I will very likely take them forever.
Serotonin reuptake inhibitor.
And you start to feel like there is no sunlight around you.
I started taking 10 milligrams of Lexapro about 3
months. I will never stop taking this, ever.
To understand how I got here, confidently saying that I take antidepressants without qualifiers like, well, it's only temporary. I can already feel them working. I'll be off them in no time. I take them now, but I've had long periods of time where I didn't need them. Here's the thing. This tiny pill, this medication that I take each morning helps me. And you know what wasn't helping me? Shame about taking this tiny pill each morning that helps me. In fact, it was deeply, deeply hindering me. I was having a conversation a while back with someone who was on an anti-anxiety med or an antidepressant, and they said something like, yeah, but I won't be on it for long, or it's just temporary, and I totally get where they're coming from. Temporary use of these medications can be great, and maybe a short period of time is just the perfect amount of time for that person or other people. But what I internalized when I heard them say that was shame. Because when I thought about getting off of my medication soon or my medication only being temporary, I knew right away that that was not going to be a possibility for me, that I wouldn't be able to do that and continue with the level of well-being that I maintain currently. So the next time that I found myself in a conversation with someone about medication, what did I do? I would love to say that I proudly disclose that not only do I take medication, but that it's something that I'll likely take long-term, if not lifelong, and that it expertly and unanimously helps me be better. That is not what I said. I said exactly what I'd been programmed to say. Something like, oh yeah, 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 I take an antidepressant. I was on it a few years ago for a couple months, and then I was off it for a really long time, and then I'm back on it, but probably just for a bit. Awesome. Now here's the thing. We all have the freedom to share what we do or don't want to share with other people. If you don't want to share about your medical experience, or your medical history, or your current medical situation, don't. That's not what this conversation is about. This is about those of us who are on medications, those of us who have been on medications, those of us who have loved ones who take medications, to stop participating in the conversation that increases the stigma of medication. Here are a few truths about antidepressants for both me and those I love. At times, they have helped me do simple things that felt way too hard. Eat, get out of bed, go on a walk, shower. They are complicated. Side effects of these medications can be extreme, and the process of finding the right one for you is difficult. Too difficult, if you ask me. This process can be incredibly grueling. They are personal. It is my personal choice to take them, and it is others to not. They have helped me mother better. They have helped me see clearer. They can be life-giving, and sometimes they can be life-saving. What they aren't, something to be ashamed of. When I disclose that I am on antidepressants, I will also disclose that I'm happier on them, that my relationships are better, my work is better, my creativity is more intact, and my perspective is happier. I will also disclose that if they continue to serve me in this way, to fulfill their purpose of helping me be more me, then I will continue to take them every single day for as long as I need. And the next time that someone hesitantly or boldly shares with me that they're on a medication, I will say clearly and carefully that I appreciate them sharing that with me and that I admire their ability to recognize their needs and see to them.
Now, I was just flabbergasted by that testimony when I found it, but I'm so grateful that I found it because I don't see those type of statements often. I don't hear those type of testimonies often, and I'm all about listening. Love, love is listening, understanding, validating, and engaging. I wish I could engage with her about her childhood, but I can't. So I'm going to just except that there are people in this world just like her, probably many, who are very content to be on antidepressants, and they're happier. They believe that they are served by them. They can. Did you hear her? She said it helps her to do simple things like eating and mothering. I'm like grateful that there's somebody actually who can have that type of thought and that type of testimony if that's improving her life. So if she says it's life-giving, I was just stunned to hear this woman so confident. And her main focus is she wants to remove the stigma of taking medication, because many of us just feel like medications are of the devil, medications are witchcraft. We can't say enough negative about medication. But this woman brings us a pro on medications and a balance of sorts to help us understand and have sympathy, if nothing else, empathy that this woman is feeling happier, that she can take her pill and feel better and do simple things like eating and mothering. And that's where we are in this society, that there are so many people who can't do anything simple like eating and mothering unless they take a pill. More power to them. I struggle with just coming out of judgment about that type of lifestyle. But that testimony has helped me just get into acceptance and out of frustration. Those energies I don't want in my psyche and my mind. So I'm very grateful for a testimony like that. If you have any questions or comments about that, feel free to press 1 if you're in the studio or comment on Facebook. So I'm very grateful that there's a woman out there willing to share her I take the antidepressant testimony and why she does it, because it helps her do simple things. A little pill can help her. And that is, in my mind, that explains or that confirms that ACEs is real. Adverse childhood experiences are very strong determinant of how your adult life will be. And the fact that you need a pill to do simple things, to me, says your emotional state has not been healed. And that's where we're going with the cons. We heard a pro of taking a medication. That's what they need. That's what she needs to do simple things right now. So I'm glad that there's something available to help her mother her children and live a life that helps her feel happy. Take a pill, feel happier. This is the dogma we have about medication, is that even though there are some people who need a pill to feel happy, it's okay. It's okay. We accept that and we wish her well. And I just pray that someday she'll heal her emotion, because that's what we're going to talk about the rest of the show, how emotions are not healed when you take an appeal. And we have a specialist, in fact, it's a woman psychiatrist, that talks about something I wasn't aware of called emotional blunting with antidepressants. And if you look at Naomi Judd's life, I've been watching lots of videos about this popular country music singer and Naomi Judd, who recently took her life. There was some deep, deep, deep emotional traumas in her life that she never healed. And so at the end of her life, her husband, everybody's, oh, you need to see a professional because you're so depressed. She had to stop doing what made her happy, that was singing and performing. I think if this woman had been able, after she healed her hepatitis, if she had been able to continue singing and entertaining, she probably would not have gotten depressed. But my personal analysis of this beautiful star, entertainer, musician, was that when she stopped performing and singing, that was the drug for her that helped suppress the symptoms of depression from her childhood. Singing and entertaining for that woman was her drug that helped her survive and live a happy life. Just as the woman you just heard had to take a pill just to eat and mother her children, Naomi Judd had to sing and entertain to live a happy life and not think about all the trauma and drama in her childhood. Once that stopped is what I saw after watching several videos and documentaries about her life. Once her singing and entertaining stopped, she had to deal with her emotions that had never been healed about her childhood. So we're going to hear from a doctor, a psychiatrist, about emotional blunting with antidepressants. And what it basically means to me is that when you take an antidepressant, you're just covering the symptoms. As with any drug, every pharmaceutical drug, in my personal experience and opinion, education that I've learned, every personal experience that people have with pharmaceuticals, it suppresses the symptoms, And we're going to hear how magnificent the body works as far as the neurotransmitters that our body puts out. Remember, this is an advanced communication system, this body from head to toe, advanced communication system with hormones talking to each other, and especially neurotransmitters like serotonin are huge. Serotonin, melatonin, these are the neurotransmitters that get confused and interfered with and reduced because of stress in our lives. And so this doctor brings out emotional blunting, which was something new I learned recently. So we're going to learn together about antidepressants, being depressed, what it means, how the body functions when we take antidepressants and when we are not taking them, and why something as simple as a mineral can bring that balance back. So let's hear from this psychiatrist about emotional blunting with antidepressants.
In this video, I'm going to talk about the emotional blunting that you can get when you take antidepressants. I'm Dr. Tracy Marks, a psychiatrist, and this channel is about mental health education and self-improvement. I post videos every Wednesday, so if you don't want to miss one, click subscribe. If you've ever taken an antidepressant such as Zoloft or Lexapro, you may have noticed that after a while of taking it, you feel emotionally numb or dulled. It's as if you can't experience normal emotions, or as if someone's holding you back. Some people will even say that they feel like they just don't care about things anymore, and they question whether they're getting depressed again. This problem is pretty common, and it's thought to occur in anywhere between 30 to 50% of people taking serotonin-enhancing antidepressants, and yes, that's a lot of people. The antidepressants that we use fall into two main categories, the ones that enhance serotonin and those that do not. The main brain chemicals involved in mood are serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. And most of the antidepressants increase serotonin levels in your brain. Two of them enhance or increase serotonin and norepinephrine, and only one of them increases norepinephrine and dopamine and doesn't touch serotonin, and that would be Wellbutrin. There's still some debate as to why exactly the emotional blunting happens, but here's one of the main working theories. When you get increased serotonin from the medications, the extra serotonin, through a feedback loop, decreases dopamine secretion. This decreased dopamine causes blunting and apathy. It's almost like an overshoot of having too much serotonin around, and it dampens down your dopamine. So what can be done about this? Well, first of all, this would be changes that your doctor would make to your medication regimen. It's not something you would do on your own, but this is just for your education. If you have done pretty well on the antidepressants for a while, but for this one problem, sometimes lowering the dose can resolve the problem. Sometimes adding Wellbutrin to your regimen can help because it increases dopamine. And of course, this is only if the Wellbutrin is compatible with the other medication that you're taking. Sometimes it's not, and your doctor can check those drug-drug interactions. If you don't have much anxiety, taking Wellbutrin alone may fix the problem. And this is because anxiety normally responds to the serotonin-enhancing antidepressants. In fact, serotonin medications are what we use to treat daily anxiety. So they're actually antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs. Wellbutrin, on the other hand, also called bupropion, that's the generic name, It's a great antidepressant, but it doesn't do well for an anxious depression. If you do have a lot of anxiety, or you've tried Wellbutrin before and you can't take it for some reason, you can try a different serotonin-enhancing antidepressant. Just because you got the dulling effect with one medication doesn't mean that it will automatically happen with the rest. And there's lots of options, including the serotonin norepinephrine drugs like Cymbalta, or the serotonin receptor drugs, we call them, such as Remeron or Trintellix. So that's it for today. Just a quick note about that dulling effect and to give you some information about why it happens and how you can improve it or resolve it. It's really unfortunate. I see a lot of people who'll do well on their antidepressant for a while and then all of a sudden it just kind of goes real dull. And unfortunately, the people who tend to be the most creative, in my experience, tend to be the most sensitive to this problem. They notice a dulling of their creativity. And if that's the kind of work that you do for a living, then that's just not going to work at all. So sometimes you may have to switch in and out of medications or try different add-ons and things like that to see if you can get something that still leaves you feeling sharp and functioning well and while at the same time treating your depression. Let me know in the comments if this has happened to you and what fixed it. How'd you get around it? What made it better? That's, of course, if you're so inclined to give that kind of information in a comment. Take care.
We're going to go to a break, but I want to just sum up what we just heard. I had a huge aha moment studying this topic, especially with Naomi Judd. Huge aha moment. So that was Dr. Tracy Marks, a psychiatrist, talking about emotional blunting with antidepressants. And as she said, if you're very creative and more, you're going to be more sensitive to drugs, antidepressants, entering your body and trying to raise serotonin. They call these drugs SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, blah, 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 blah. So the pharmaceutical industry, these scientists, these mad scientists in the lab, these witchcraft creators go in the lab, and I don't know if you heard all the names of antidepressants that they have come up with. Huge aha moment when I listened to Naomi Judd's testimonies all over the place. And she had a horrific childhood. So how do I know? She talks about it everywhere on YouTube. So it's nothing new. That's what I love about what I do is when things like suicide show up with Naomi Judd shooting herself in the head. I'm like, whoa, what was that all about? So I just trace it back to their childhood. And she has admitted in several videos how she has struggled with depression, especially after she left her career of singing and entertaining. She loved that. It was what made her happy. Like the testimony we heard in the beginning of a woman who says, I proudly take my antidepressants because they make me happier. And they help me do things like eating and taking care of my children. Oh, bless her heart that she can take a pill that helps her eat and mother. That's the society we live in. So Naomi Judd, on the other hand, has given us a gift of testimonies about her horrific childhood and all the depression she struggled with in the last 10 years of her life because she left the music industry, which was her joy. That was her joy. And she was so creative. She wrote most of the songs that she and her daughter sang, she actually wrote. So that's a real powerful creative energy in that woman. But here's the thing. When they put her on antidepressants, they blunted her emotions. So the emotions don't get healed. This is so important, brothers and sisters. Antidepressants don't heal anything. They just suppress the symptoms and make you happy, feel happy for a little while at least. Until someone like Naomi Judd comes to a point of the emotions begin to come up from the subconscious. And the one symptom, side effect of all antidepressants, I looked up every single one of the major antidepressants that are prescribed
every single one of them has a side effect of suicidal thoughts. And if you think about someone creative and sensitive like Naomi Judd, who's on these medications trying to suppress the depression and the feelings low self-esteem from a horrific childhood, guess what? Suicidal thoughts show up and pew, you're dead. Grief, this is just powerful, powerful lesson. But here's, as we go to the break, here's what the Bible says about this, which is why we're here today talking about this. The scriptures say, and the scriptures give us wisdom in times like this. If you want to look at what happened in Texas and Buffalo from a very wise point of view, a higher point of view, go to the scriptures. For instance, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, a good name is better than a precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. The scriptures in wisdom say your day of leaving this body, this temple, is better than the day of your birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. That's what we're supposed to take to heart, the lives of Naomi Judd and all these people who died in Texas and Buffalo. Take it to heart, process it, and come up with higher frequency awareness of death being the better way than birth. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue our study of antidepressants because, as I said, we heard pro on a woman who takes her pill and she's happier. She's going to take this pill as long as it takes her to stay happy and eat and feed to be her mother. And I'm just staying out of judgment about that. I'm in acceptance about this is what some people need, to take a pill to eat and be a mother. Bless them. We pray for that woman. And I pray for anyone who's in that state where you haven't really dealt with your trauma in your childhood or your emotions that keep coming up, but you're using a pill to suppress the pain, suppressing the pain that comes with a really traumatic childhood. So let's go to the break. And when we come back, we're going to look at some more experts on this topic, especially about your brain and how you fix your brain, which is where the mental illness and the depression is really active, is in the brain, the thoughts and all that. And what is one of the best minerals for anxiety and depression? There's one mineral that can help, maybe replace that little pill. But let's go to the break. And when we come back, stick and stay, as our executive producer would say. And we're going to learn a lot about prevention and how to maintain our health in wisdom. And what is all this turmoil about that we're going? We're in the middle of a great awakening, brothers and sisters. This is a great awakening. Buffalo, Texas, way down south, Buffalo. These traumatic events happening are the part of the great awakening we're all going through. And as the scripture says, better, your day of death is better if we're taking it to heart what this means for us who are in this great awakening. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony and the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining me this morning. I know you could be doing so many other things, but it's really important, I believe, to have the knowledge that will keep us from perishing. Because this government has lost its effing mind. We are now being faced with the monkey, the cheeky monkey. Blah, 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 blah. You cheeky monkey is back. Here we go again, you cheeky monkey. So we got to be aware and on our toes about the whole health issues that come up and maintain our sanity in this really Twilight Zone environment. This is another episode of the Twilight Zone, the cheeky monkey. So my advice for you on that issue is just get your liver cleaned out as much as possible. And we're going to talk about that in future shows, cleaning the liver, making sure the liver is strong. Because anything that shows up on your skin is a sign that your liver is not clean, your liver is not strong enough. So that's just a simple message for the cheeky monkey drama that's showing up. Every news, major news show is starting to talk about the cheeky monkey, whatever. Get your liver strong and listen to this show once a week at least and all the other, and especially during the week where we're advising you how to keep your body, soul, and spirit in balance. Mind, especially mind. Today we're talking about the mind, keeping the mind in balance. Because actually what we're going to hear and what we've heard today is that there's a, fix your brain, you fix your gut. We talk about the microbiome all the time. Part of mental illness, a big part of mental illness is in the gut, the second brain. If your gut is full of hamburgers and cheeseburgers and processed food going through all the time versus fermented foods, raw juices, you're going to have mental issues. That's what the science shows. And I want to share with you five ways to raise serotonin, because serotonin is the big neurotransmitter that pharmaceuticals are focusing on. One neurotransmitter out of several is being focused on when doctors prescribe antidepressants. One. Now think about this. You are a complicated, sophisticated biological computer, and the minds of pharmaceutical companies get together and say, oh, this person's depressed. Let's come up with a drug or several drugs for them. We'll try this. We'll try that. And you become the guinea pig. And at the beginning, if you missed the beginning of the show, we heard from one person who's very happy taking her antidepressant pill to help her eat and be a mother. Otherwise, she can't eat and be a mother without her little pill. So no judgment and acceptance with that type of mind and person. You can take your little pill to be happier and be a mother and eat and do simple things in life. And it has saved her. She's happier. What? Good for you. Now, we talk about the cons now, because as Dr. Terry C. Marks just showed us, there's an emotional blunting when you take antidepressants. And Naomi Judd is a perfect example of the emotional blunting that took place in this woman 70-some years in her life. Her drug was entertaining and singing, and she was happy, happy, happy. That was her drug for years, happy, singing, and entertaining, putting on beautiful clothes. And once she stopped doing that and had hepatitis, and she went through all these other challenges, her emotions start surfacing. And depression set in. Instead of dealing with the emotions in the way that we're going to see in a minute, everybody go to see a professional. You got to see a professional. And what do? You need an antidepressant. And what does that do? Antidepressants suppress the symptoms. You feel happier for a while. You might feel joy. You might be able to eat and take care of your children, taking that little pill. But then eventually, as they state in the literature, suicide thoughts start coming up. Why? I'll tell you why. This is the aha I had about it. When you try a little pill to suppress your feelings of not being worthy, not being loved by your mother, all the adverse childhood experiences, you're taking a little pill to suppress that. You're not healing the emotions. Once the emotions surface, that's why people start having suicidal thoughts, because it's a total conflict with who you are. Your soul being is not here to suppress your emotions. Your soul journey is here to heal those emotions. And that little pill just suppresses it, crushes it. Emotional blunting, as Dr. Tracy Mark puts it, that help you start feeling like, I don't need to be here, because it's a confusion to this master computer called the human body. It's confusing you. It confuses and cause you to say, ah, I'd rather be out of here. Let's take this route out and permanent solution to a temporary problem. So here's just information. Let's take a detour. Five ways to raise your serotonin, which again is just one messenger, one neurotransmitter in a pool of hundreds of messengers in your body that the medical system, the pharmaceuticals focus on to try and bring balance to your depression. So here's five ways to...
Serotonin levels can be increased by means of natural strategies such as practicing physical activity, performing massages, or eating healthy, balanced, and rich in tryptophan. However, in cases where these activities are not sufficient to increase serotonin levels, the use of supplements may be recommended in order to promote a sense of well-being. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter produced from an amino acid called tryptophan, which can be related to various functions in the body such as regulating sleep and body temperature, promoting good mood and feeling of well-being, and improving cognitive functions. Thus, it is important that serotonin levels are ideal for the person to have the maximum benefits possible. Thus, some ways that can help increase the levels of serotonin circulating in the blood to ensure the benefits provided by this neurotransmitter are: 1. Relaxing activities. Some relaxing activities such as meditation and yoga can also help to increase serotonin levels, because when practicing these activities, it is possible to regulate nerve signals and improve the activity of neurotransmitters, promoting a sense of well-being. In addition, as these activities aim to reduce the symptoms of anxiety and stress, they also help to regulate cortisol levels, which have an action against serotonin. Thus, it is possible to favor the action of serotonin in the body. Another way of promoting the increase in serotonin levels through an activity that promotes relaxation is through massages, in which the production of neurotransmitters associated with the feeling of well-being, such as serotonin and dopamine, is favored. 2. Tryptophan-rich food. Food is essential for the production of serotonin, because it is through food that it is possible to obtain ideal amounts of tryptophan. Thus, to increase serotonin, it is important to have a diet rich in tryptophan, giving preference to foods such as cheese, salmon, eggs, bananas, avocados, nuts, chestnuts, and cocoa. 3. Practice physical activity. The practice of physical activity helps to increase the levels of serotonin circulating in the blood since it is able to favor the increase in the production and release of tryptophan, which is the amino acid related to the production of this neurotransmitter. Thus, when exercising regularly or at high intensity, it is possible to increase the levels of serotonin in the blood that reaches the brain, resulting in a feeling of well-being and improved quality of life. All types of physical activity are able to stimulate the production of serotonin, however, aerobic exercises are usually associated with a higher level of production of these neurotransmitters and, therefore, it may be interesting for the person to practice running, swimming, walking, or dancing. 4. Sunbathe daily. Some studies indicate that exposing yourself to the sun daily is also able to increase serotonin levels, because sun exposure promotes the production of vitamin D, which has a direct impact on the tryptophan metabolism and, consequently, leads to the formation of greater amounts of serotonin. Thus, it is recommended that to increase the amount of vitamin D and, consequently, of serotonin, the person is exposed to the sun 10 to 15 minutes a day, preferably in the hours of the day when the sun is not so hot, because it is recommended that in this situation do not use sunscreen. 5. Use of supplements. When natural techniques are not enough to increase serotonin, the use of supplements that promote an increase in the concentration of tryptophan in the body and the release of serotonin may be indicated. Some of the supplements that can be indicated are 5-HTP, which can easily reach the nervous system and induce serotonin production, and the tryptophan supplement when it is not possible to obtain ideal amounts of this amino acid through food. In addition, some studies suggest that the use of probiotics can also promote increased levels of serotonin because it promotes increased levels of tryptophan in the blood, which consequently represents greater amounts of this amino acid in the brain and greater production of serotonin. It is important that the use of supplements is indicated by the doctor or nutritionist according to the person's needs. Thank you for watching the video. I hope this video may give certain information about serotonin and the natural ways to increase serotonin. Was this information helpful and what do you think about this?
Right, tryptophan saved my life. I was taking a tryptophan supplement when I was living in California. I was in like post-birth. I was in after having two small children, I was stressed with all kinds of problems. Tryptophan helped me sleep, helped me get to work and all that. Because as he mentioned, tryptophan is a precursor to serotonin, or serotonin works with tryptophan. So and what did the pharmacy, the FDA do? Took it off the market. Because they decided that it was causing harm or it wasn't doing what they wanted. It was too powerful, basically. People were finding out that tryptophan was helping with depression, let's say. So they took it off the market. But here we are, full circle. Tryptophan is, I believe, back in the stores. And you can find tryptophan usually in health food stores. And so that's a suggestion as an alternative to the pharmaceutical. And if you heard in that piece, cortisol levels affect serotonin levels. What is cortisol? Cortisol is the hormone that's produced when you're under stress. Comes from your adrenal glands. So if you're under a lot of stress, you're going to have low serotonin levels. And then that means you could easily get depressed. And I use Naomi Judd as an example for all this because she had the perfect storyline, the perfect testimony where all these things were happening. I'm sure her cortisol levels were up once she had hepatitis and then she couldn't sing and entertain anymore. That was her drug. singing and entertaining was her drug. She didn't have to take a pill, and she just loved being on the stage. Whatever you your passion is, that's what you need to focus on rather than a little pill. Just do what makes you happy. So when that was taken away from her because of her health, because of her change, the life changes, then that's when depression set in, and everybody, oh, you got to see a professional. You got to be a professional. So cortisol levels from stress affect serotonin, and physical activity will raise those serotonin levels up. Imagine that, just getting out and walking in the fresh air, sunshine, going to a lake, doing yoga. All of that will help your depression. So one more thing that will help with depression, a very important mineral. I want to bring this in at this point before we go back to, oh, maybe not that, because we're going to have to go to a break. But so far, if you're just joining me, we had a testimony early in the show of a woman who's happier. She can do simple things like eating and being a mother by taking her little antidepressant pill. We have to accept people like that because she doesn't want the stigma of having to take an antidepressant. And as I'm saying, antidepressants, and Dr. Tracy Mark says emotional blunting takes place when we take an antidepressant. Let's see if I have a short video. What is serotonin? Let's go back and review that before the break. What is serotonin?
Welcome to Nested TV. This is Lee, and today I'm here to talk about serotonin and how it connects to your sleep. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter that has a wide variety of functions in the human body. A neurotransmitter is a chemical messenger in the nervous system. It is sometimes called the happy chemical because it contributes to well-being and happiness. The scientific name for serotonin is 5-hydroxytryptamine, or 5-HT. You may have heard of it due to its connection to depression. Some of the most common medications for depression are SSRIs, or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These work to help the serotonin you have work for longer. Serotonin also affects your sleep cycle, your appetite, and digestion, among a bunch of other things. About 95% of the serotonin in your body is made in your GI tract, where it regulates the movement of your intestines. It also plays a part in reducing appetite while eating. The remaining 5% is produced in your brainstem, where it transmits signals between nerve cells in your brain. Nutritional deficiencies can contribute to low serotonin. Low levels of L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid found in things like turkey, oats, tofu, nuts and seeds, vitamin D, vitamin B6, or omega-3 fatty acids can contribute, as these are all things that your body needs in order to produce serotonin. Natural ways to help your serotonin levels include exercise, light therapy, mood induction, and getting more of those key nutrients from your diet and supplements. Mood induction refers to intentionally creating a happy mood by doing something you love or thinking about things that you know will make you happy. This may sound like ideas from someone who does not understand what a low mood is actually like, but a study found that these actually increase serotonin levels in the brain. So, how does serotonin connect to our sleep? There seems to be several ways, and is actually still really being worked out. One of those ways is that serotonin is the precursor to melatonin, our sleep hormone. Simplifying the steps, our body uses that amino acid tryptophan and converts it to 5-HTP, then serotonin, then melatonin. So if we're low in any of those, we won't make enough melatonin to regulate our body clock properly and get enough sleep. But beyond melatonin, serotonin itself seems to impact sleep. It is actually found at higher levels during the day, so it was thought that it contributed more to wakefulness. But newer research is linking it to our sleep drive. How well we sleep comes from both our circadian rhythm and our sleep drive. So when we have a bad night's sleep, our sleep drive is higher the next day, and we're more likely to sleep well that night. Some research is indicating that serotonin building up during the day may be important for our sleep drive. Speaking of our circadian rhythm or body clock, there's likely another indirect way serotonin affects sleep. Our sleep-wake cycles are really interconnected.
So what we learned from that woman is very important, that 95% of your serotonin is in the GI tract. That means your colon, your gut, where the microbiome community of trillions of microbes live. This is so important. If you don't get anything else today, I hope you get this. 95%, that means most of the serotonin that pharmaceutical companies are trying to manipulate when they give you antidepressants. Remember, SSRIs, you hear that in medical terminology, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. That's what their antidepressants are called, SSRIs. So they're trying to manipulate your serotonin. This is a complicated machine. How is it that these pharmaceuticals have come up with the idea that they can manipulate 1%, maybe 1% of this biological computer? So they're trying to manipulate serotonin. 95% of it is in your GI tract where your microbiome lives. What's going on in the GI tract that microbiomes are involved in? Let me think about that. Okay, serotonin is like a messenger. So along with your GI tract producing an army of microbes down there of all kinds, viruses, bacteria and fungus, your GI tract is working with serotonin to help you balance your life. So instead of taking a little pill that makes you feel happy and helps you do simple things like eating and mothering, you could just concentrate on improving your GI community of microbes, microbiome. We talk about that on this show all the time. If you're not here, microbiome has trillions of cells, more cells in your GI tract than anywhere else in your body. So your GI tract, your gut is full of cells that work with serotonin to help you calm down, to help you be happy, to help you be balanced. So what do we talk about with the microbiome community? You got to feed your gut. And then 5% of the serotonin is where? Up here in the command center. So the command center is working to help you produce serotonin. Your gut, 95% of it is working to help you produce serotonin. So what we need to focus on maybe is a mineral that will help us balance all of this. And then focus on help making sure your gut. And you know what takes your gut out of balance more than anything? Two things I'll give you that throws your GI tract out of balance. So there's lots of confusion about where's the serotonin? Where is this? It's gone. Where is it? We can't find it down here. The army, the microbes, we can't find it. Where's the serotonin? Where'd it go? Number one, sugar. Lots of sugar in your diet will destroy or take your GI tract out of balance. And guess what the other one is? Pharmaceutical drugs. You're taking pharmaceutical drugs, it kind of destroys or weakens your GI tract. So what do you think about the pharmaceutical industry trying to work on balancing your serotonin? Ah, get rid of it. Get rid of them. Let's go to a break. When we come back, I'm going to play the most important mineral that you need for anxiety and depression. Because even though we accept the testimony of someone who says that little pill is making them happy and they can do their mothering and they can work, they can eat, we want to give you some better options, especially like Qigong and energy working materials, that because that's who we are. We really are. We'll be right back.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hallelujah, greetings. in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Buffalo and Texas, it's pretty likely somebody was on pharmaceutical drugs, because pharmaceutical drugs make people lose their effing mind. That's what this is all about. Serotonin, a neurotransmitter that the pharmaceutical companies focus on to help people come out of depression, even though there's tons of other things going on in this master computer of the body. That's what they focus on, to bring drugs to people like the woman we heard in the first hour, who's very happy with taking her little pill, antidepressant pill, because it helps her do simple things like eat and take care of her children. I think that's just sad, but I'm accepting. This is a season to accept people's choices about taking care of their body, whatever. And so even though I have all this knowledge from my dad, from studying and 35 years of just focusing on the body temple, I'm bringing you some knowledge I hope will help you make better choices, because Naomi Judd's death is a lesson. It's a message for all of us to look at childhood to the grave, from the womb to the tomb, on how adverse childhood experiences affect us. And she's a perfect example of how her emotions were suppressed because of her childhood traumas, and how a drug like singing and entertaining thousands of people all the time was her drug of choice. And then when that was taken away, her emotions start surfacing. And the pharmaceutical industry says, we got a pill for that. We got a pill for 10 decades of emotional trauma being suppressed. We got a pill for you. Emotional blunting happens. You got the pill. You feel happier for a little while. But as we heard earlier, creative people who are more sensitive to these pills that drug companies come up with, they're probably the ones who experience the suicide as a major side effect. And even Chesley Chris, Miss America, who jumped off a building, we haven't heard yet whether she was on any pharmaceuticals, but that's Mike. You don't jump off a building if you in your mind, sane mind. If your gut, let me just say this, this is my own personal opinion. If your gut is healthy and you got your trillion army of microbes and viruses, but you got them working and communicating to the brain where 5% of serotonin is, 95% of it in your gut. If you got a healthy gut, you're not going to be jumping off a building. That's crazy. And that's what happens. You go crazy. Successful people, in my mind, who are creative, they go crazy when their gut is out of balance and their brain is not functioning properly with serotonin and all the other neurotransmitters, and they're not getting out exercising, meditating, breathing. That's why we're going to talk about the power of meditation. Some of these people are too busy to meditate. And then when they finally get sick, some of them come out and start meditating because they realize, this helps being out here in nature, breathing and by the lake and the birds are singing. Oh, I'm getting my drug, nature. So here is one of the most important minerals for depression. Please listen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tracy Marks, a psychiatrist, and I make mental health education videos. Today, I'm talking about the critical role magnesium plays in your mental health that you probably didn't realize. Magnesium is considered one of the essential minerals that's involved in more than 300 different body processes, including keeping your heart beating and maintaining electrical stability of your nervous system. Magnesium is used by the body to regulate serotonin and other neurotransmitters. And some researchers believe that low magnesium is the problem behind treatment-resistant depression. How could that be? Well, magnesium is an NMDA receptor blocker. Blocking NMDA increases the brain chemical called BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. BDNF is like fertilizer for the brain cells. Neuro means brain, and trophic is Greek for feeding. BDNF is one of the chemicals that's responsible for cell regrowth and neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is the ability to improve nerve connections by destroying damaged nerves and growing new ones. Think of it as neuroflexibility. There's another popular NMDA blocker called ketamine. Ketamine was approved as a medication for treatment-resistant depression in 2019. Ketamine is a hallucinogen, and so it's not very easy to take for depression, but it works very fast by its powerful effect on increasing BDNF. I have a video talking more about ketamine for depression. Magnesium also helps anxiety, and here's how. You have NMDA receptors in your amygdala. Those receptors control fear conditioning and avoidance behaviors. Avoidance is key in maintaining phobias. I talk a little bit about it in the video that I did on safety behaviors. So blocking the NMDA receptors in the amygdala and the rest of your limbic system decreases your fear response and avoidance, thus reducing anxiety. Another way magnesium helps anxiety is it decreases glutamate, which is a brain chemical that stimulates and excites the cells. And it increases GABA, which slows cell activity. Benzodiazepines and most sleeping pills work by increasing GABA. Now you may be thinking, if magnesium is so good and it's already in our food, why would anyone be depressed or anxious? We all eat magnesium, right? Wrong. According to the National Institutes of Health, 68% of the population doesn't eat enough magnesium, and that's most of us. And therein lies the problem. Even if you consume enough magnesium, stress and anxiety deplete magnesium levels. And here's how that works. When you have a physical stress like an illness or anxiety, you get an increase in your sympathetic nervous system. You get elevated levels of cortisol and adrenaline. These elevations make you excrete more magnesium through your urine. So during times of stress and anxiety, even people with normal levels of magnesium can become temporarily magnesium deficient. In one of the studies that I have referenced in the description, the researchers saw this phenomenon when they studied a group of college students during final exams week. The students had normal levels of magnesium before the exams and became deficient while under the stress of exams. And if you have a temporary situation that can make your magnesium dip, you can recover when that stress goes away. But imagine the person who has an anxiety disorder or who's depressed. That person becomes magnesium deficient, and the magnesium deficiency keeps them anxious and depressed. It's like a loop that feeds on itself. So anxiety depletes your magnesium, and low magnesium makes you anxious or depressed. How much magnesium do you need? The recommended daily amount for men is 400 to 420 milligrams, and for women is 310 to 320 milligrams. And it's always best to get your vitamins and minerals from nutrient-dense food. Nutrient-dense food is food that has a lot of minerals relative to the calories. The highest natural source of magnesium is pumpkin seeds, carrying a whopping 156 milligrams for 1 ounce. 3 ounces of cooked chicken breasts only contains 22 milligrams. There are good reasons to take supplements. Supplements are good if you just can't eat enough through your food or if you have digestion problems. And as we get older, we have less stomach acid, which can lessen how much of it you absorb. Another reason to take magnesium supplements is if you have depression or anxiety. Having those conditions suggests that you may still have reduced magnesium levels. Antidepressants do increase magnesium levels, but as I mentioned before, some people whose depression doesn't get much better with antidepressants may be stuck in depression because of low magnesium. We still don't have that much research evidence to support using magnesium as an add-on agent, so your doctor may not have recommended magnesium because nutrition and mental health are relatively new focus in medicine. But the research evidence is growing. Here's what 225 milligrams of magnesium looks like, at least for the brand I use. They're pretty big capsules, and it still doesn't meet my daily requirement. I'd still have to eat my ounce of pumpkin seeds to get closer to my requirement. If you take other supplements, it can be a chore getting down all these pills. There are several different formulations of magnesium supplements. Here are some of the popular options. Magnesium oxide has a lower absorption but a higher concentration of elemental magnesium. Because it's not absorbed well, it can cause diarrhea. Sometimes it's paired with calcium as a combination tablet because calcium is constipating. Magnesium hydroxide is sold as the laxative called milk of magnesia. You don't want to take it as a nutritional supplement because you don't want to have diarrhea every day. Magnesium citrate is the most common form of magnesium supplementation, and it's better absorbed. Magnesium diglycinate and magnesium aspartate are more biologically available than magnesium oxide, but still less than the citrate version. Biologic availability refers to how much of the pill your body actually uses. Magnesium L-theanate is supposed to be more absorbed by the brain, but the research on this is still new. The most common side effect associated with magnesium is diarrhea, and you see this most often with the oxide and hydroxide forms. So that's magnesium, an important nutrient for your brain health. If you haven't already seen it, take a look at this video on gut health and depression. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
So the professionals that we're listening to today are highlighting the problems or the con, we're talking pro and cons of medication, the con part of medication, especially antidepressants. And one more I want you to hear from this psychiatrist about the side effects. Even psychiatrists and doctors, there's another woman I've heard from, Lisa is her name, they talk about the side effects. But Naomi Judd, again, is a perfect lesson for us. Again, after death is better than the day one's born, because if we take it to heart, we're going to live better and longer when people like Naomi Judd give us the story, the full story from the womb to the tomb of why she decided to put a gun to her head, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I think that's what we're hearing today. It's a temporary problem if you have this knowledge. The scriptures say, my people perish for lack of knowledge. She had no knowledge, I'm sure, about all the things we're learning today. So I give thanks for Naomi Judd and for the Creator revealing these things to me. In the last week, I've been just bombarded with, okay, you got to know this. You need this. You need. And so now I'm sharing this with you, hopefully, where you and your family can live longer, healthier lives because of the death of one person who we are taking to heart. So here's one more psychiatrist explores the side effects of these drugs that people, my dad used to always ask me, and he lived to be 95 years old, this man here, lived to be 95 years old. Whenever he went to the doctor, he said, okay, this is the drug they want me to take. What's the side effect? He would call me, ask me, what is the side effect? So I'd look him up. Okay, Dad, here it goes. I spent a minute reading the side effect. He said, oh, no, I don't want to take that. He was scared to death of side effects. So that's why he lived to be 95. He would take all types of herbs and supplements. He had a pantry full of supplements because he was afraid of side effects. So here is one more look at the side effects of drugs from Stuart Shipko, a psychiatrist's point of view.
We were at Good Samaritan Hospital downtown, and we had a loose affiliation among different specialists for something we called the Panic Disorders Institute. And this was where people don't get really good physical exams for their panic disorder. It's usually just, I'm having panic attacks, and the physical part is ignored. The thyroid, the heart, other endocrine conditions. So we had a first-class place. So you're talking about the early, mid-90s, before the internet was big news. And I was flooded with patients having the worst panic attacks of their lives after they'd been prescribed Prozac or Paxil or Zoloft, drugs that were indicated for panic disorder from the FDA. And their doctors were saying to them, that can't happen. Well, I posted that on my website. Because there were so few anxiety websites, I had quite an audience. And I posted that, and what happened was amazing. People were having all kinds of reactions to the SSRI antidepressants. And they went to their doctors, and the doctor would say, that can't happen. There's no side effects. This doesn't exist. I was flooded, not just with people having panic attacks from the SSRIs, people with every conceivable type of side effect. They were coming to me. They were coming here from all over the country. And I would tell them, I don't know anything about antidepressant side effects. But the reason they were showing up was they couldn't even get a doctor to sit and listen to them. And that was the beginning of it. Then I became a clearinghouse for more and more of these side effects.
So can you talk about that? I mean, did you start prescribing Prozac in your practice?
Well, I didn't prescribe it right away. I'm really old school about medicines. I don't prescribe anything the first year it comes on the market. A lot of times things come on the market and then the next year they're not there because they found something really wrong with it. So in the meantime, the people that showed up to my office had been prescribed it from somewhere else. Well, the next thing I noticed was that you couldn't stop it. And so these people would come in on SSRIs, Prozac was the first one, and when it came time to take them off the drug, they wouldn't go off it. They'd already tried, and that's when I realized that there's a very profound withdrawal from these drugs. And then, you know, there's something else happened later down the road when I prescribed it was Paxil to a patient, and then I was just giving him samples, and he couldn't afford it. When the samples ran out, within 3 or 4 days, he attempted suicide. And boy, there was nothing about this guy that was suicidal. You know, he was unhappy, but it wasn't much. And it made me curious about the drug then. Now I realize it's a typical withdrawal suicide. It's pretty common.
Okay, I'm going to have you share one more testimony about antidepressants, and then we're going to go to the break. And then I'm going to bring in a guest for today, who's going to talk about her ministry that she's working in to help people overcome all kinds of things. But as you heard, suicide is always in the picture when you're taking antidepressants. So, or at least for some, our guests, the first half hour, I shared something with someone taking a pill. It helps her eat and mother her children. Acceptance. So here's one more about what these antidepressants
The main kind of antidepressant
that is the most popularly prescribed are the SSRIs. And these are medicines that increase serotonin transmission. And when you start to push on the doses of these SSRIs, you start to lose some sort of quintessential feminine things. I mean, first of all, it becomes much harder to climax, and it becomes much, much harder to cry. But you also see decreases in empathy, in sensitivity, in passion. The simple way of thinking about an SSRI is that you have two brain cells, and one is a pitcher and one is a catcher. So pitch, catch, pitch, catch. So this nerve cell is throwing serotonin across, and this one is catching it. What the medicines do is they block the recycling back into the pitcher. So, you know, I'm throwing, some of this gets caught, some of it gets dropped, it just doesn't get over there, but I'll suck it back in and try again. So if you block the recycling, more is in the middle to get across. So there's more, you know, the space between the nerve cells is called the synapse. If you block the recycling of the serotonin into the releasing cell, more is available for the catching cell. So it ends up enhancing the transmission. How enhanced serotonergic transmission translates into feeling better and feeling less anxious is much more complicated. But, you know, the simplistic way to think about it is that if you have higher levels of serotonin, if your transmission is better, you will be more relaxed and more happy. It's a little easier to smile. It's a little harder to cry. So, you know, I've had patients come to me say, you know, I've tried antidepressants before, but they always made me feel like a zombie, or they didn't make me feel like myself. Or, you know, I had a patient who said, like, I cut my finger and I looked down and I saw that it was bleeding and I saw that it was my blood, but I didn't really feel like connected to my finger or the blood. You know, things like that that are really, really worrisome. Or I've had patients say, you know, I was in the situation where I knew I should be crying and I couldn't cry, and I felt terrible that I couldn't express that emotion to, you know, bond with my friend or something like that. So these antidepressants do scale back a lot of expression of emotion and feeling emotion, even sort of thinking emotional thoughts. If you're terribly depressed and you need antidepressants to get out of bed and function and go to work, I get it. That's one thing. But what I'm worried about is more and more women deciding to go on antidepressants because their friends are doing it, and that's what's, you know, more and more women who are at work are taking these SSRIs so that they can not cry, not get flustered, keep going forward. You know, I think it jibes with this sort of forward momentum agenda that so many of us have, and especially in the workplace. But, you know, I would say at what cost? You know, it is true that SSRIs can help you get ahead, and there have been really interesting animal studies where, you know, the primates who are on SSRIs ascended up the dominance hierarchy, and the ones who became dominated over got stressed out and had lower serotonin levels. So there does seem to be some component of serotonin affecting dominance hierarchies and, you know, the ability to move ahead or to lean in. So, you know, I totally get that there are advantages to being on an SSRI in the workplace. But you're going to miss out on knowing what's right because you feel it, or being hurt by what somebody said and showing them that you're hurt, and so that person can learn that their behavior has emotional consequences for other people. So, and it changes the whole sort of tone of the workplace. There's going to be less accountability and less sort of calling people on you know, their misbehavior if you're not even feeling that anyone misbehaved. When you think about risks, you know, if you're really being thorough, you want to look down both tunnels. You know, if this really works out well, how is that? If this works out badly, how is that? And how would that be for me? And so when you're evaluating risk, you need to be in touch with things like fear or vulnerability or anxiety. So if you're medicating yourself to be invulnerable and to let things sort of flow by you and, you know, oh, it's so fine, it's all good, it's no problem, whatever, you may make decisions that are riskier and feel better about them. There are other antidepressants, like there's an antidepressant called Wellbutrin, which while the makers of Wellbutrin won't really say what its mechanism of action is, it does seem that it more increases your dopamine. It's not so much of a serotonergic antidepressant. It increases dopamine. And dopamine helps you to be motivated and to have a vector and keep going. and to be pretty headstrong. So again, in that situation, you may make decisions that are potentially disastrous. You know, in the same way that somebody who is sort of hypomanic, if you think about somebody who's manic depressive and they have ups and downs, when they're in this hypomanic up, they get some bad ideas that seem like pretty reasonable ideas to them. Somebody who's in a hypomanic episode may be more promiscuous and make bad choices sexually, spend money that they don't have. You know, there's this overinflated sense of self and invulnerability. And you can see the same thing with somebody who is sort of over-medicated on serotonergic medicines, is damn the torpedoes, full steam ahead. And sometimes those torpedoes are going to get you. So there's quite a few things you can do that aren't prescription medicine. You know, the first thing is to really look at how you're living your life. How much sleep are you getting? What is your diet like? Are you moving your body? Are you getting sunshine? Sort of, you know, the basic things that we as social primates should be doing, which also includes being social, being interactive, and not being isolated and withdrawn. My patients who have sort of gotten off their meds and left me, for the most part, are people who have adopted regular cardio practice, where they're exercising regularly. I think that's really important. The other thing is that you can take herbal medicines. You can take things like St. John's wort or 5-HTP, which is an amino acid, or you could take SAMe. There is also a lot of evidence that the ancient medicinal plant cannabis can be used to treat insomnia, anxiety, depression. So you do have other options.
So I think the bottom line, as we go into our next break, and then we're going to come back and introduce Beth from Hermitage Ministries, the bottom line for me, and I hope for you, is that I was listening to Qigong Master Wayne Chandler last night, and I actually took a class with him last Saturday online, a virtual class with him for 5 hours on Qigong mastering. Yeah, it was life-changing. But this is something he said that really kind of applies to what we're talking about here today, is the pineal gland, this very important gland that when activated in meditation brings a very calm and peaceful energy to your body. The pineal gland absorbs emotional frequencies. So whether you're depressed or angry or hateful or joyful or forgiving, this pineal gland is absorbing these frequencies, and when you're meditating, it's processing these frequencies for you to help you have homeostasis and peace of mind. So that what happens when taking pharmaceutical antidepressants, SSRIs, is it suppresses those emotions. So that it's not, again, they don't heal anything. They just suppress what you're feeling. And that is why side effects show up, because the effect of the actual effect, it's not even a side, it's an effect of taking any pharmaceutical drugs, is that your body is confused. Your body has to adjust to this chemical in your body versus feeding your gut, feeding your pineal gland with meditation, breathing, being out in the sun, and all the other things, taking magnesium, all the other more natural solutions. Instead of avoiding those, the pharmaceuticals are suppressing, and that's why many people end up with suicidal thoughts, because it's not a natural process. The pineal gland is there to help you. Your gut is 95% responsible for producing the serotonin, the dopamine. All of those neurotransmitters actually are communicated from your gut or your microbiome community to your brain, this advanced command center. And so I hope that after all of this, we are able to overstand that it's things like Qigong that help us be empowered and amplify our personal power versus amplifying drugs in our body. I'm going to go to a call before we go to the break, and then we 773-521. Your mic is open.
Good morning. This is Kofi James.
Good morning, Kofi James. How are you?
Oh, blessed, never stressed.
Hallelujah.
Watching everybody run around like roaches, but I think I think the light is on.
Yep.
And I think we have to I think we're realizing that nature is king.
Hallelujah.
Because when you're out of here, you're out of here. You know, so.
Right.
Man can only put up deception and deceive you. But if you, you know, I stay connected with nature and it doesn't even affect me.
That's the key. Yes, that's the key. Stay in nature and let the birds and the sky and the sun feed you versus all the other options we have of nourishing our body.
You know, people think you're crazy when we talk like that. You know, they keep feeding us narrative. Oh, there's a shortage of baby food. Formula. That sounds like chemicals. I'm like, well, God gave women two breasts to feed the babies. And then people go, oh, you just think you're so smart. You think you're so smart.
And that's what I think we're confronting that on a daily basis right now because the media and the government is bringing division. So I got to go to a break, Kofi. I'll come back. And we have another caller, and then I want to introduce a friend, Beth, a Hermitage Ministries, to us as a future participant on Soul Purpose Healing. So we'll be right back after this last break.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage or give us a call at 646-359-6605. And we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
We're back. I'm going to go right to the phones. I believe Mama AZ has her hand up, so I'm going to let Mama AZ speak, and then I'm going to bring in my guest. Nicole, Mama AZ, your mic is.
Grand Risings family, can you hear me? Greetings, Brother Kufi. I'd like to have that video of your chanting. I don't know where to find it, but I would love to chant with you. Dr. V, I'm looking at the trees here and the birds and the woodpeckers and the lizards and everything. Nature, family, I don't want to cry, but it humbles me. What little I can experience with nature, I see the benefits. It's even gotten to a level that I can hear the stones and the trees communicate with me more. And if you don't do anything else, family, find a way to go out in nature. If you can't do that in a high rise, get you a big pot and a beautiful pot and get you some earth in it. And when you're feeling really stressed, just go over to that pot and do your meditation with your feet buried in that earth in that beautiful pot, and that helps. There are alternatives, and thank us. Thank you, Dr. V, for your wisdom and knowledge that you bring to the Kitchen Table University. This is Mama Bonfire AZ Paris calling you from stolen land in Tucson, Arizona. Thank us.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. And I would add that being out there in nature develops our internal energy, because everything going on inside of us is right before our eyes in the trees, the sky, the cosmos, the sun, the moon. And so when we meditate, we are developing internal healing energy. We're developing a sound vibration, healing sounds with Qigong elements and so forth. So there's just so many benefits to meditating in nature. And that's why I do a yoga class every week on Wednesdays at 11:11 to help us stay focused on what is really important these days, when monkeypox and all these other deceptions and lies are.
Beth Hermitage World Outreach.
Okay, Beth Hermitage.
Sorry, mailbox is full. To send an SMS.
Okay, I was bringing in my, let me see if I can get her on the phone. My guest for this half hour, at least I think she's supposed to be on here. Maybe I'm mistaken. But I hope, are there any questions or comments? In fact, let me open Kufi. Is Kufi still there? Kufi, tell us about the chant that Mama AZ is interested in.
Well, I texted to you, and I would just have you to share with her. It's something, you know, I gravitate and I'm evolving. As being a indigenous person, and it's just something that just came to me to chant something to lead the people to nature. And you know, the chant goes, you know, and just came to me, and Anu is the sun god, Nefertiti's father. And so it just came to me one day, and it just made me so great. And it's on my avenue YouTube page called Pure James. And so it's just a chant, indigenous chant. And when I put it on my Facebook page, I got like 1,000 friend requests from African people.
Really? How about that?
Hey, you know, I have some willow seeds and a little Christmas ornament, and I play that. And they're like, wow, you're an indigenous person. I go, yeah, I'm indigenous, but I'm here in America.
Turtle Island.
We all are indigenous from the trees. And I just keep pressing until people goes, well, maybe that slave ship, the sailboat didn't sail. maybe that was a curriculum class that they gave us to fool us to make us think that America wasn't our land. When I had white folks thanking me, oh my God, we appreciate you. We're so tired of lying to you. We know you're not from Africa. We know we took your land. You know, Mama AZ just made a statement. Kwame AZ also makes a statement down in Georgia. You know, we're sitting on stolen land, right? Don't they say that?
Yep. Stolen land
here.
But
you know what? Why don't you say, I'm standing on land that I've taken back. You take back the land, when you take back your mind, you take back the history and your ancestors, you actually take back the land. The land is ours. We never claimed the land. We were here when the Europeans go, wow, you exotic people. You guys are beautiful. He goes, who owns this land you live on, Turtle Island? Who owns this land? He goes, well, this is God's land. We just live here. You don't own it?
Here's another thought. Kofi, think about this. How about take back the land called your human body vessel, sacred temple? Because over the past 2 years, people gave their human body temple over to fear, the government, the medical sickness care system. How about we take back this land right here, this sacred temple where the pineal gland helping us absorb emotional freaky healing sounds for our organs, for qigong, and fear. What fear does is impacts your kidneys and inflames your entire lower back. Yeah. Let's take back this land right here, human body, sacred temple. How about that?
That's right. We're trees. Take back our vessels, and everything else will fall into place. You know, if you look at meditation, the first three words is M-E-D. That sounds like a medication.
Yeah.
That sounds like you're listening to nature. That sounds like nature is a medicine. You're quieting. You're quieting yourself. You are on point. I don't want to talk too much. I mean, you kind of put a period on what I was saying. Our body is the land that they're after.
That's right. Mind control. Mind control. What did we say? 5% of your mind is where serotonin is created. This factory going on up here in the mind, 5% of serotonin. You got 95% of serotonin being created in your gut. And what do they say? Eat more candy, drink this. Eat this crap, and then have fear, be worried. Look at all the victims of Texas. Look at all the victims in Buffalo. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? Let's move into the higher fourth dimension vibration and amplify our personal power going forward to create something different than this third dimension chaotic reality of guns and fear and killing. Mama, I see your mic's open. Did you press one again?
I made a statement. I made a statement on. They go, what do we do? These people out here, you know, running around getting at 18, they're going and buy a gun, and a military gun, and getting weapons, and these people are selling it to them. Well, yeah, well, that was a problem, the guy who stole from that gun. I go, you know what? Find, trace that guy's trail back to where he came from. Find out what organization that he's a part of or who he's listening to, and then round those people up and kick him out of America. They go, oh, my God. Yeah, kick him out of America. They don't need to be here. How about that?
Okay.
I'm gonna
open up Mama AZ's mic. She has a comment, and then go ahead, Mama AZ.
Thank you. Thank us. Brother Kufi, you're correct. I will revise that about the stolen land. Yes. Thank us. And it is interesting that we're having this reasoning for today, because today adds up to an 11 energy. And it's interesting that we're in the time of Aquarius, and I'm in Tucson, Arizona, at the Gables. I call it the Gables Resort. And Tucson is an Aquarian township, I guess you could say it like that. So thank you. Thank us for that. And I will be revising that. Thank us. Mm-hmm. And remember, family, today is 11. That's the gateway. That's the scale. That's justice. That's when you go through the gateway of the doorway, you go through into other dimensions. And 11 is also a master number, or you could say 2, but I like to say 11, because it takes you into other realms, you know, the feminine energy. So look
yes,
it up.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
us.
So now, Kufi, would you just one more time lead us in that chant for the amplification of 11 and helping us all increase our personal power going forward in this new Twilight Zone episode, whatever. We're going to increase our personal power in the fourth dimension coming out of all this chaos. So can you lead us just one more time in that chant?
Sure. The skies, the constellation, if you draw it up like a pencil, it'll draw a picture of a man. We are all the reflection of the universe. It's called
Thank us. Ooh, that's awesome. I feel that. Wow, that's awesome. Let's do a little bit more meditation. Let's do a little bit more meditation on Earth, My Body, so that we can seal this day with an 11 powerful energy of purpose and power. Earth, My Body, breathing in and out. Let's just do a little bit of breathing before we go, breathing in and out. And taking in that vibration from chanting, breathing in and out, everything what heals your depression. And get those pumpkins around
this. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood. Air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like to see.
to hold me. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me. She likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird sings. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth, my body, water, my body, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my spirit. My breath and fire, my spirit.
Bringing a collective spirit of unity, love, wisdom to the show today. Thank you all for showing up. May your lives be filled with joy.
But you can hear every show in the archives.
Oh, I'm getting pumpkin seeds.
Blogtalkradio.com.
Energy in your body. And the dark green leafy vegetables.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page.
Loving and experiencing the sun and moon and stars. And especially go out with the birds and sit by the water. There's our medicine for today. Meditation is the way. Not medicate, but meditate. So come back tomorrow. Mama B will be here tomorrow with wisdom. And
we
come back with soul positivity. Everybody have a beautiful day. Go outside and please and enjoy the sun.
Radio host, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank
you. To our family in China, Sheshe.
Sheshe.
India, Zanyaba. Japan,
Arigato.
Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kujung. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Have a beautiful day, a beautiful night. See you Sunday night.